It's wonderful to be together in the house of the Lord, to lift up praises to our God. And the Lord does so much as we are come before Him and we worship up praise. And He's working in lives and accomplishing His will, His way, for His glory. We give Him praise today. If you have your Bibles, we invite you to take them and turn with us to Hebrews. We're still there, chapter 11. We're still there in the hall of faith. And really, this is what does faith in God produce, part four, but came up with this title, The Three A's of Faith. Since, you know, we started the school year and all the children are all excited and they are just really thrilled to go back to school, as well as the teachers and the support staff, the bus drivers, the aides, the librarians, the helpers, and we all go, you've got to be kidding. And the battles that they're facing, I hear about because I am now not only in the house of one fabulous teacher, but now two fabulous teachers, because not only does Sue teach that strange subject called math, but also my oldest son is teaching science and to middle school students. Can you imagine that? When Jesus was tempted in the wilderness for 40 days among the wild animals, one youth sponsor said he knows what youth ministry is like because that's wild animals translated is middle school students. So you can pray for our teachers as they are going through it every day, and they face so many different challenges you can't imagine, or some of you who have been in the teaching profession can imagine. But as we come to look at this portion of Scripture this morning, some of us might have been able to remember this. In 1973, there was a commercial. And the commercial was, there was a song that was done by Carly Simon in 1973, and it was called Anticipation. And you kind of remember the words, anticipation, it's making me wait. It's making me wait. It's making me wait. Now, that's very dangerous to do that on Sunday morning, because now I've just planted in your minds the idea that, man, I really want some French fries with some ketchup, right? It is that anticipation of waiting for something good. It's that anticipation, oh man, I'm going to taste something that is so good. I'm going to have French fries with ketchup on it. And Heinz, of course, was trying to convince everybody that the slower the ketchup poured out of the bottle, the better it tasted, you know. And some of us got impatient, and you remember you had to take your knife and had to stick it in the jar to get it out, and some of us were shaking it like this and so forth, because we just couldn't wait. The psalmist says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. So questions I want to ask you this morning that you can ask yourself, am I expecting God to work and perform miracles on my behalf for His glory? Am I expecting God to work miracles on my behalf for His glory, for His plan to be accomplished? Anticipating God to work, what will my faith in God accomplish? So the three A's of faith is anticipation, for God to do His work, His way. The second one is application. I'm applying what I've discovered about God and faith in God for Him to do His work, His way. And then I'm allowing God to have His accomplishment in my life, accomplishing His work in me through faith in Him. Am I expecting God to work and perform miracles on my behalf for His glory? Many times we might be saying, oh, Lord, just get me through this day. But then we forget that we are his child. We are lavishly loved by him. Our identity is in him. In our weakness, he is made strong, and we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And as we go throughout the day and we face the battlefield, sometimes we may forget who we are. And we need God to do a greater work of his faith in and through our lives. We've been looking together at Hebrews chapter 11, and with verse 20, there's a whole list of what faith in God produces. We've discovered that it produces blessing by the words that I say to my family, especially to lift them up, to build them up. Verse 20. Verse 21 talked about worship, that even in my old age, I can lean on my staff and worship God and honor him because I have faith. It brings about instruction. God guides and directs my steps. He's given me his instructions, his word. Verse 22, verse 23, courage by faith. We see that Moses' parents had courage to go against the mainstream, to do what God was telling them to do. They had courage. And then even Moses in his life discovered true identity. Hey, my identity is not the prince of Egypt with all the treasures of the world, all the things that this world offer me. Oh man, I can have power, I can have fame, I can have popularity. No, he identified himself as a Hebrew slave. True identity. When we get alone with God and have faith in him, we begin to discover our identity in Christ, who we are. The word says we're a royal priesthood. We may not feel much royalty right now because our home is in heaven. Our kingdom is the kingdom of God. We are citizens of his kingdom, not here on earth. So we're going to feel a little like a tourist or a sojourner or a pilgrim, because our home is part of the kingdom. We're his kids. We've discovered together right decisions. Verse 25, Moses chose to be mistreated among the people of God. He made a right choice, right decisions, walking with God by faith. God's Spirit resides in our lives and in our hearts, and he molds and he shapes us and he teaches us and he instructs us on how to live this life if we listen and obey. Faith gives us that ability to make right choices. And then we discovered last week, really, faith in God also leads to persecution and perseverance. And then obedience. Yes, because I stand for Christ, because I am his child, I will face suffering in this world. And it won't be this kind of suffering that I get because of me, of my mistakes. No, it's the suffering that I get because I represent Christ. I'm his kid in the world. I'm light, shining the light, his light through me in the darkness, and therefore I'm going to receive persecution or perseverance. God, through those trials and those sufferings, is working for his good and his glory, his plan and his timing. And I have to trust, but he's going to build in me endurance. That's why we don't want to pray James chapter 1, right? Count it all joy when you face various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces that word, perseverance or patience. Obedience, verse 28, by faith he kept the Passover. Moses was obedient to the voice of the Lord. He heard, he knew what God's word said, and he obeyed. He obeyed. And there's deliverance in verse 29 and verse 30, victory in verse 31, salvation. So we'll pick up there. So follow along as we now begin in Hebrews chapter 11, beginning with verse 29. By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land, but the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome to the spies. And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who, through faith, conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept relief so that they might rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy, wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Pray with me. Father, as we look into your word now, we pray by the power of your Holy Spirit that you'll captivate our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus and open up the truth, that you'll teach us afresh, that you'll guide and direct us, that our thoughts will be listening to what your Spirit has for us from your word today. And may we respond obediently to you. And we give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Two questions. The three A's: anticipation for God to work, applying faith in God to work, accomplishing his work in me through faith in him. But there are two questions. Really, what does faith in God produce? And we see this over through the whole chapter. By faith, by faith, by faith. We gave that list. What God is longing to do in his children's lives. And the final three, the verse 29 is deliverance. Verse 30 is victory. And verse 31, salvation. First, deliverance. It says, by faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land. Can you imagine that? By faith, the people crossed the Red Sea as on dry land. But the Egyptians, when they attempted to do the same, were drowned. The whole summary has their path before the nation of Israel was before them. What took place? They couldn't go any further because the Red Sea was there, and at their back was Pharaoh's army coming at them to destroy them. And they had no place to turn except to God, and they did so. And as they did, God did an amazing miracle. The Red Sea was departed and dry land occurred, so the nation of Israel could walk through on dry land. But, there's a but. What is it? The but is the enemies of God were taken care of. Egypt went down on dry land, but it didn't end on dry land. The Red Sea came and consumed them, and they were drowned. It tells me that God knows our struggles. He knows what we're going through. He knows your heartache. He knows the issues you're facing. The word says Jesus was tempted in every way as we are, yet is without sin. He is our great high priest who intercedes on our behalf. He knows what you're going through. The Lord knows every hair that's on your head or every hair that's not on your head. He knows. He knows your thoughts. He hears your prayers. He hears your prayers. He heard the children of Israel for that span of time when they were led in Egypt for really rescued there because they were starving because of famine. But over the years, they forgot Joseph and they became slaves of Egypt, and they were enslaved and they were persecuted and they were suffering, and they cried out to God. God heard all those prayers, and God brings deliverance at just the right time. Just the right time. And he will take care of you, and he will take care of our enemies. I've said this before. My brother's mother-in-law, Mama Gilly, who's home to be with the Lord, grew up in Macon, Georgia. And she was used to drive a school bus and on the city streets of Macon, downtown, picking up children. But she always would say this: God is never late. God is never early. God is always on time. He brings deliverance at just the right time. We see the second product is victory, verse 30. Oh, I can't wait to get there. The walls of Jericho fell down. The walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. How did that happen? Did it happen because they sieged the walls? They built ladders up and they stormed the gates? No, it's because they did it God's way, which was totally unconventional. They marched around. And who went out in front of them? The priests, the worship leaders. And they were worshiping God as they were going out and marching around Jericho for 7 days. And what happens? They were in a posture of worship, a position of worship, a place of worship with God to hear him communicate to them his way. And the walls came down. Tells me that God will fight our battles his way. God will display his power by our faithful obedience, willing to listen to what he says and do what he wants us to do his way. God will do amazing things as we worship him. It is our expression of love to the Lord. They were persistent in their praise. And even as our elder this morning prayed, he says, I don't want the rocks to cry out. As the psalmist, you know, talks about that, as Jesus even said that, I don't want the rocks to cry out and rob me of the joy of praise. We are to be people of praise. God is on the throne. God is still in control. God is more powerful than the chaos that is happening in the world today. We, his people, need to praise him in the midst of the storms. We need to praise him in the midst of the sickness. We need to praise him in the midst of the sufferings and watch God bring joy and accomplish his will to be done. Verse 31, salvation. Rahab, she wasn't even part of the nation of Israel. She was outside the camp. She was what the Pharisees would say, you know, as Gentile. They don't deserve to be even coming close to God Almighty. But we see here in verse 31, Rahab. By faith, Rahab the prostitute did not perish with those who were disobedient, because she had given a friendly welcome. God will save those who submit to him. God will save those who submit to him. If you've submitted your life and given your life to the Lord Jesus Christ and received him by faith, you are, guess what? Great news is awesome. This is wonderful. You are his child. No one can take that away. Not even the enemy. Nope. You are his child. God redeems and he works through sinners who seek him. Praise his holy name. Thank you, Lord. God doesn't expect you to be all cleaned up before you come to him. He accepts you as you are. But he doesn't leave you there. He begins to work in your life as you listen and obey him by faith. God rescues those who welcome and help God's people. Cannot but help think of Corrie ten Boom, who in the midst of World War II did all that her and her family could to rescue the Jewish people. And yes, they were caught in that rescue, and then they were enslaved. But God never abandoned them. God was always with her. And God brought her out, though her sister passed away, but she knew that her sister was with the Lord forever. What does your faith in God produce? What does your faith in God produce? Second question is, what does the process of faith accomplish? And there's a whole list there, beginning with verse 33 to the end of the chapter, what these individuals were able to do because they believed in God. They conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouth of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Some were tortured, refusing to accept to release of that torture so they might be able to rise to a better life. Others suffered mocking and floggings and even chains and imprisonment. Some were stoned and they were sawn in two and they were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated. And then verse 38 says, of whom the world was not worthy of. Right? Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. And all these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised. You might say, well, what's the big idea? What's the cost? The cost is, oh, that Jesus loves me and I love him. And therefore, I will stand on that promise that he is with me always and will never leave me nor forsake me. And I will shine for him and be his light and be his witness. Because of what he's done for me. What has he done? What has Jesus done? What has Jesus done? He took all your sin. Every sin that you ever committed. And he paid the price in full so that you could be made holy, right with the Creator God. And he did it because he loves you. He did it because he loves you. I don't know if anybody in heaven would say, hey, Jesus, would you do it again? You know, sometimes we ask that. Would you do it all over again? When we get older in life and we look back at the beginning years, would you do it all over again? You know what Jesus would say? Yes. He would. For God so loves the world. He loves you. He loves you. God honored these in the hall of faith because they believed and trusted in God. Though they didn't receive what was promised. And verse 40, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. What does that mean? It means, well, that we, on this side, have received the promise. Who is the promise? Jesus Christ. As the writer of Hebrews says, listen, let me tell you about Jesus. He's the Son of God in chapter 1. He is really salvation. He is the light of the world. He's better than any high priest. He's better than Abraham. He's better than Joshua. He's better than Moses. He's better than any high priest. Because he's our great high priest. He is God, the exact representation of him to us. He is our Savior. And he is better. And because of that promise, we can receive him into our life and we become one with him. The patriarchs, those who have gone before us, have stood on that promises, hoping to see that. And because of that truth, because of the revelation of Christ, they are one with us. Question is, will you see Abraham in glory? Yes, I believe so. Will you see Moses? Yes, I believe so. Will you see Joshua? Yes, I believe so. Will you see Aaron? Yes, I believe so. But you'll also see Peter, James, John. Those who you know on earth who have followed the Lord. By faith in God through Christ, God produces Christ-like character. Through faith, faith in Christ, my God, He leads me through the process to accomplish His will, done His way for His glory. Am I in that posture? Am I in that position, in that place where God can use me? So how does this apply then to our lives? What is God saying to me? How will I respond? What is God wanting to do in and through you? Your faith in Him, what will your faith in God produce? What has your faith in God produced? What could you add to the list of what God has accomplished through faith? Ephesians 3:20-21 says this, "Now to Him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think according to the power at work within us, to Him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen." Am I in that place where I am enjoying the presence of Jesus, the peace of Christ, discovering the truth? Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. He is greater and better than anything this world has to offer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word to our heart this morning. We confess sometimes that our eyes get distracted because we look at the things of this world and we think, where are You? But You have never left us nor forsaken us. Father, sometimes the things of this world, whether it's sickness or suffering or our own foolish pursuit of selfish things, Lord, sometimes that distracts us from keeping our eyes fixed on You. And I pray that You will help us to be children who fix our eyes on You, the author and finisher of our faith. And Lord, that You will accomplish Your good and perfect will in our lives that You've begun. And that You will accomplish what You want in and through us. Give us a greater, Lord, a greater love for You. A greater awareness of who You are. A greater ability to trust in You completely. A greater confidence that You are working all things together for the good to those who love You and are called according to Your purpose. May we, Your children, experience the joy, hallelujah, and the peace of Christ, even in the midst of the battle. Father, this is what we pray. We desire to please You. Thank You for Your word to our hearts this morning. We give You glory in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen.